Is this actually working?
Like, we have somebody live. Who's that live right there? That's Rando, fucking Danny Akatsuki, and our buddy Joe from BHIS.
Hi, friends. Hello, friends.
It's I would concentrate looking down here. Okay. We're looking at each other. Great. Because we're going to see the delay up here. It's really going to F us.
Excellent.
Welcome to the party, everybody. We are live from, I don't know how we made this work, and I guess chat will tell us if it's not working. But we are live from Wild West Hackenfest in Deadwood, South Dakota. We've wanted to do this for a long time. I think I bought these little mics that we have on like 2 years ago, and we just never got our shit together enough to do it. I am remote. This is Jake's first time running this on his own. He's with Brandon. It's your second time.
Yeah.
Is it just you two? Is Dev not in? That figures.
Dev's not in. Yeah. I pinged him.
Welcome to the party, everybody. We're going to speak with Joe first because I grabbed him by randomly. Jason was here and he's like, yeah, but you haven't yet met Joe. And I love new friends. We've talked to Jason a whole bunch, too much, actually. Really? Jason does get a lion's share of the attention for Black Hills. So I think it's about time. Maybe he took a back seat. I'm not even going to go find him after this. You know what? I'm boycotting Jason. We have Joe. Jason's amazing. He's the one that helped us do FYI, the expansion pack for Backdoors and Breaches, which the idea was launched here two Hackenfest ago, and then we worked on it for an entire year. Are you involved in that, Joe? Well, first of all, I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm so rude. Joe, introduce yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Great question. My name is Joe Keating. I write for the BHS Wrecker Comics. And so all the Hacker Comics we're doing right now, I'm involved in some way or another. I wrote Bear vs. Bear, art by Rob Guillory. I edited two Darknet Diaries comics. And I'm editing The Future Is, which is our new ongoing thing we just funded on Kickstarter. Thank you to the hacker community.
Right, hold on, Joe, nice. While we're here. Selfie.
There we go.
It's official. So, goddamn, dude, you do a lot. How did you get involved? Like, where did you come from?
In my past life, I worked at a company called Image Comics. And I was working on staff there. Jason's past life, he was running a comic book store in Florida. It was called Comic Book Store. And we met there. And then, you know, paths diverged. And they came back when he was working at Black Hills. And they wanted to make comics. And he knew I knew how to make comics. And so, making comics.
I think my avatar in the Discord is me posing with the two bears.
Oh, hell yeah. That's awesome.
At Charm a couple of years
ago. I was hoping they'd have those here. I wanted to see those in person, but that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why the bears aren't.
I don't know.
Maybe they'll
make a note next year, bears. Yes.
But they're not there yet, Danny. It's not there yet.
Well, yeah, but it's also this is the last day, right? Like, the last day. Like, everybody goes home on buses tomorrow.
Last minute surprise. Attacked by a guy in a bear suit.
So what's your function when you're here? Like, what are you doing? Are you just here to like hang out? Or like,
yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it, right? Like, I grew up going on BBSs and playing the hell out of Doom on a dial up and paying $5 a minute for, you know, the pleasure of doing so. But I went the comic book route.
You're the one paying it, not your neighbors that you hooked up.
Yeah, I know. See, I wasn't that advanced, right? I didn't know. Now I know. So look for that, neighbors. But anyway, yeah, and so, you know, it's kind of reintegrate in the hacker cybersecurity community and just here to learn, here to meet people and just see it for myself. You know, Jason and Deb have talked a lot about how wonderful the community is here, and it's one thing to hear about it, but to see it in person and meet everybody, and I'm just having a blast, man. So here to meet people, here to learn.
This is your first one?
This is my first cybersecurity anything.
Really? And I'm sorry, you must have covered this, but I'm busy looking at levels and stuff because so I'm trying to be a good interview and I'm failing horribly at it.
You're
right
doing
now.
Great, man.
But so how long ago did you start with Black Hills?
It's been years now. Yeah, it's been years, you know.
And they've never brought you out here? Those rat bastards.
Well, no, they're clear. We love Black Hills. But I almost said Rat Hills. But anyway, we love Black Hills. We love Black Hills. No, they've been nothing. They're amazing to work with. And yeah, I know. It's just, we're kicking things up. Like, we've done a little like one shots here and there, but with Project the Future, it was like, okay, now it's time for you guys to really be immersed. You're gonna be digging in that deep.
So like, so coming from us, at least, I know the journey to do our expansion deck with Backdoors and Breaches was so much more. And both Jake and Brandon were in on that too, along with some other people here at Trimark. I think it was way more involved than we ever like imagined it being. And it was like 3 or 4 3-hour meetings, and it was, you know, revisions, and it was this, and plus the actual subject matter expert part of it. So that was just, and that took a year.
Yeah.
What's your process for those comic books? Like, is it so, like, how is, are they, like, what, like, how do they start? Where does the idea come from? And then do you do art first? Or, like, how do they get built?
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, the quick answer is everything is different, right? I mean, like, I've worked for companies like for Image Comics, where you're creating stuff full cloth. I've worked for DC and Marvel, where it's like, hey, we need.
Well, you've worked for big guys.
I've worked on Adventures of Superman story. So, like, let's take that one for example. They needed 20-page stories about Superman. Do whatever you want. I was like, okay, here's my pitch. But Black Hills, I mean, Jason knows comics, right? Like, he's really immersed in that world, so he knows comics. So they wanted to make, like, we want to do a comic sort of about the endless battle against the red teams and blue teams. And so I think it involves battling bears. So I was given that, and I was like,
oh no.
Like, I'm somewhat unique in that I have background, since it was like our first thing ever. I was like, I'll write it just to keep the team tight. And I brought in a guy named Rob Guillory, who's an amazing, like, I knew he's hilarious. He knows how to do like excellent cartoon humor, and sure, are the two hardest things doing comic.
Yeah.
Especially humor, actually, even more so. So I was like, I need a guy who's genuinely really funny.
Right.
So I brought in,
because one thing to be funny, but then trying to be funny.
Oh yeah.
Trying to be funny is like,
never works.
Yeah. It's like walking in quicksand.
Yeah, exactly. So we assembled the team. And then to your point though, there's a lot of like iteration and a lot of like, you know, one of my favorite things of, you know, about the hacking is the whole idea of breaking things a bit stronger. And that totally works for comics too, you know? And so they wanted to do like essentially kind of like a test. It's 20 page, you know, these two bears fighting. How do we relate this to hacking? And it's like this puzzle to figure out, much like essentially what you guys do,
yeah,
you know? And so anyway.
Can you make a character and just name him Scott Blake? He's our director of services, and he's constantly dealing with bears in his yard. He lives in Colorado.
Oh, no kidding.
So, like, I think he's building a pool for them or some shit. Like, so just, you know, like, you can name him like Hot Hake or something. Like, you know, just sure. We don't have to pay him money for his
life. Sign a waiver, you know, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Oh my God, guys, hold on. If we had Scott sign a waiver, could you include him in some kind of bear?
I'll have to talk
to the guy. I don't want to put jokes in. But no, like, it's one of our running jokes. That, like, didn't Scott blame his loss something Mario about Kart. The first Mario, because we had a Mario.
Yeah.
Yep.
Our first Mario.
He goes, there's a bear on my patio, on my deck. And there was. But
yeah, well, we don't know that there was. Like, that's what he said that there was.
He but sent pictures.
A likely story.
Although, I'm going to file away that excuse. That's a good one.
That's crazy, man. So, like, you've worked for those really big swingers. How, and like, listen, we're all nerds here. Like, we all nerd out over certain things. How much are you concerned? Are you worried about, like, when you're writing and things? Well, one, I don't even know if you're be on the hook for this, but like,
yeah,
the fandom, right? Like, how much of a consideration do you worry about past lore? And like, do you ever get angry nerds writing into it? Like, when you work for those big guys?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to call them nerds, but
you call them nerds. No, we use it as a term of affection.
Yeah, you know, I have a great respect for the readership because they enable me to do what I get to do.
Yeah.
You know, but I got to focus on story first, you know, even if it is just two bears beating the crap out of each other. You know what I mean?
More story, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You could throw a Wolverine in there. That's fine.
It's working out for Marvel.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so always focus on making the coolest shit possible.
I curse on this thing. I just curse on this thing.
Oh, yeah.
We say wait.
Yeah. Okay, great.
So, the boss never watches these.
Oh, right on. Anyway, so make it
and we are all fucked.
And and then, you know, you put it out in the world and you hope it's received well. And of course, with things like what we're doing Black Hills, there are expectations for what the company wants. Like, you know, with Darknet, right? We respect what Jack has built and want to make something that represents it well. You know what I mean? And, you know, so yeah, it's a mix of things to be sure.
What was your, did you have any expectations about, did you know anything about actual hacking before you came in?
Well, like I said,
aside from like in the popular culture.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I came, so my mom is one of the really people instrumental in building medical information systems. So I've had the shit around the house forever, like DOS-based Genie, right. You know, and then Prodigy and BBS systems. I was lucky enough to grow up in a major city. So we actually had BBSs you could dial up into. So I, you know, of course, grew up, yes, with the pop culture, Neuromancer, and, you know.
I just read Gibson stuff this past year. All of it. Oh, my God, it's good.
It's so good. Yeah. I'm just listening to Neuro. I've never listened to it. I've read it before. But listen to it. I'm like, this is like one of the best Westerns I've ever read.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
You know what I mean?
When I tried to listen to it, and I couldn't get into it, so I read it first. Because the narrator, just the nature of the content is like super slow or whatever. But like, no, I got that. But anyway, continue. I'm interrupting you. Like, we can nerd out over, like.
And so, like, there's, I mean, having grown up in a very tech-based household, like, you know, I was talking with Jason and John about this the other day, like, and this is not an excuse, just if I had some issue at 2600, then I would have gotten more into it, or, you know, we had wired hanging around the house in the late 80s, late 90s. So anyway, but there wasn't a strong enough and then for me, like, okay, where do I go and take this, right? And so I went to comic book route. That worked out great. Now things are coming full circle. So yeah, there was a great appreciation for it. And yeah, you know, there was a game called ZZT back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I'd fuck with that and mess with it, make my own games and stuff. And so, you know, a little bit. But in terms of professionally, like, this is my 20-year roundabout way of kind of getting back into it.
What have you learned so far since you've been in and around us? Like, have you, like, learned any, like, cool shit? Like, oh, so that's how you do that thing? Or
yeah, well, it was funny. So in Jerry's keynote, he mentioned going on BBS's to download the Jolly Roger cookbook.
Yeah.
And I remember doing that as a kid and feeling, A, I'm going to be arrested and sentenced to like a death sentence, right? And then this is also the coolest fucking feeling I've ever had in my life, right?
Yeah.
And I haven't really seen that so much recently, and I'm seeing it left and right here. You know, my favorite thing in the world is, no matter what their thing is talking with people who are passionate, knowledgeable about their thing and just want to share that. Every single person I meet here has some version of it. You know?
Oh yeah. Like, well, like every you'll fall on one certain trigger.
Yeah.
And that's your conversation for the next 4 hours.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And so, yeah, I mean, that, and it just, the atmosphere here, being in Deadwood, South Dakota, like, they've really built something special, and it's really cool to be digging into it. And yeah, I mean, I'm all in, man. This is great.
No, we love it. We love it. I speak for me, especially when I see new, like, people who aren't in and around it come in and just get sucked in the best ways. Anyway, I've been talking a lot. Do you guys have any questions that you want to throw, Joe? I've been monopolizing everything.
No. Keep going. Like, the live interaction you can get is way better than what we could do over this delayed ass shit, you know?
So talk a little about, so you had mentioned, and again, like, my meeting Joe was like 2.5 minutes and I got the background, and then you had mentioned working for Honor with Darknet Diaries. What do you do with Darknet?
Well, so it's through BHIS. So they have the relationship with Jack, Deb, and
right, yeah, yeah.
And so they wanted to adapt some issues of Darknet, or some episodes of Darknet, into one-shot comics that then they would have at like Def Con and like Jack signed them and stuff like that. And so, you know, they had the interaction directly with him about like, hey, which episodes would you want to do? And the first one, I think it was actually crowdsourced. I think they said, hey, which episode would you be most interested in? They chose Jeremy for marketing.
Jeremy for marketing is such a good episode overall. It was like a perfect pick that you guys did.
And it was a great experiment too, because it was like, how do you take, and this is one of my favorite things, like, I love solving creative puzzles. Like, you have this conversational podcast, audio only. We're taking this to a visual medium. So what certain things do you need to accomplish to do that, because it's obvious, like, this, the nature of adaptation is like sort of breaking it to make it stronger is very much part of it. And so for that, I brought in a writer who I knew could do it really well. This guy, John Arcudi, he was really instrumental in like the Hellboy comics and BPRD. He created a lot of these characters. It created the mask, and he's worked with a lot of different, he's just got to the analytical mind for comics. And then instead of making it just a comic that's like, hey, it's two people talking, having a cartoonist like Owen Gianni, who I brought in, he had worked on a comic called Rat Queens. We worked together on a comic called Shudder, another one called Glory. I just knew he had that mind of what is the visual representation of this thing that was the most interesting and most compelling, again, to make it not just us just talking, right?
Right, right.
A comic book. So, yeah, it's cool.
Did you get a chance to meet Jack yet?
I haven't yet. I really would like to. Really would love to. Everyone says he's really cool, and I love the podcast. Actually, I'll say, like, coming back into the cybersecurity world, that has been one of my favorite resources of just going in and just mainlining.
Whenever anybody new comes in, because me, like myself, I only discovered this event maybe like 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up with other hackers and doing all right of, like, you know, like when I asked, like, did your neighbor pay for it? Did you? They were the ones having their neighbor pay for it. So I was brand new in my 30s when I came into all this. And that's what I always say, like, it's never too late to get into that stuff. One of the things that happened to me when I got in, it didn't jive right away, but just one day just suddenly did, was I started looking at the world around me and everything in a much different way. So now when I walk into, say, a doctor's office, I'm looking at what equipment are you using? How is it hooked up? If I'm in an office building, I'm looking at where the cameras are, and I'm wondering at least, like, you just start to pick these things apart and, like, figure out. Is not like wizardry and magic, but it's really just looking at a thing and asking questions of it, and then leading it to other things.
Sure.
Has this caused you to look at the world in any kind of different way? Like, have you, like, even maybe subconsciously, maybe you didn't realize it, of like, oh no, now I look at this thing, or I think about how things work in a different
way? Yeah, that's a really fascinating question. I think it's what it's made me look at in my own life is this comic book creation process. You know, like, again, I keep going back to that adage of breaking things and making stronger, you know. And that iteration process, like, you know, assuming we do more Bear versus Bear, it's probably going to look a little bit different than the initial version did, because we've tested these different things out, and we've seen what we think is working, and we see something. And so seeing the, like I said, I love creative problem solving. I also look a lot in the video game industry, and it's very similar in that, like, you have these set of technical parameters that you have to work in, you know, especially like when I worked in mobile gaming, it's very, there's not a lot of room here, you know? But you have this narrative that you need to get across, and then you have this, you know, specific disciplines and tool sets that you can then utilize for that. So it has made me bring that hacker mentality to storytelling.
Right. Yeah. And it's very much like, now I also find that I got to be like a better problem, like, in just anything, like any problem that I'm faced with, whether it's like, why my kid is being a dick.
I was just thinking, I was like, I've got a toddler, and I was like, okay, now I can hack what his mentality is.
Yeah,
get him to go to bed on time, you know?
Which, that's like more social engineering than anything else. Speaking of social engineering, I see a Leith across the table, so I might try to grab her if she wants to come on the Trimark stream in a little bit.
That was one of my favorite
games. Yes or no? Yeah? All right, cool. All right. I just, like, Elise just happened to sit down with her husband, and, like, so I'm going to tag her in a little bit. Don't you dare leave. Although I'm happy, dude, I'm so glad I sat down next to you, man.
Total blast. Yeah.
But no, anyway, like I was saying, I just wanted to make sure I tagged her first. But, like, or just like anything, right? Like, figuring out, like, oh, even like, so for instance, like this year, I've been very bougie since I bought my house, and I've been paying somebody because I'm that one percenter. Hardly. Now, like, when I took it over, and I was like, all right, well, so to the guy who did the thing before me, what were the tools that were you using? How did you do your thing? And now let me go break that apart and find those tools, and like, oh, I'm gonna weed whack this, or I'm gonna do this, or like, these particular things are always a problem, let me unfuck this. Really compartmentalizing and building a process to that thing. And I used to just see a difficult thing and be like, I'm not doing that. Like, that's too hard. Like, I'll pay somebody else to do it. Fun fact, I had an ex-girlfriend break up with me because I used to pay my friends to come over to put together furniture because I was too much of a lazy asshole to do it. And now I build my own because
it would be
the same thing, right?
Sweet.
So, like you said, breaking things to either make them better or just to figure out how the does this thing work to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, and that could be either like a physical or like a philosophical thing, right? Yeah. Like, you know, you can do it. We don't get political on here because just we don't. But even when you approach those things of like, all right, I may still really dislike this person, but if I can at least break it down and understand the why of it.
Steel man, yeah.
What are their process? Yeah. Why are they like, okay, now if they are then my adversary or my enemy or like just somebody that I have disagreement with, how do I hack that, right?
Right.
One of the best things I ever learned was from this was like how to give and receive information, right? Like sit like creatively, right? Yeah. Like I imagine you probably sit in a room with a lot of people or a room, whatever, and share creative ideas.
Sure.
And you don't probably always jive, right? Or do you have a great team you jive with all the time?
No, I mean, and also like I like I don't want everyone to agree all the time.
Right. You know, you can't have yes. Nothing progresses.
The worst garbage comes out that way. Everyone's like, I just check mark it. You know what I mean? Like, I love having dynamics. And like you mentioned, like not talking politics. It's like, that's not on my hierarchy of value to why we're here. Like my thing with comics, I'm here to make cool shit.
Yeah.
So like whoever wants to do that, you're welcome to the party.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, even if we completely disagree
on
whatever outside of that, or even within that, especially within that, you know, like I want that friction. So
yeah, 100%. But then like, if you really like, we all have ideas that we're like, we're really tied to like being able, like, how do I explain my idea to the person who's against it and then give them something that they want?
I
forget what book I was reading, but like, I forget what it said, but it was something about like compromise just means nobody's happy. Right. Cause if one party is completely happy, they won. Right. Compromise just meaning trying to get the best of both worlds and getting that. And creatively, right? Like, I sympathize because I run a game show here at DEF CON, and I work with some other. Have you been to DEF CON?
No, dude.
This
is my first cyber anything.
Listen, so where are you geographically?
Idaho.
You're in Idaho.
Yeah.
If you come to DEF CON and if Black Hills doesn't do it for you, I will pay your badge to come to DEF CON. I desperately want to see that,
folks. Let's go.
Because I actually get badges for my contest. So, like, you're reserving what? Like, if you come.
That's
at least hotel. You're on your own.
Yeah.
Sleep on the strip. I don't know. But all is because I desperately want. You've come to this really great one as a first one, but man, you go to DEF CON. I want to. I hope that will feed your creativity. I think that would be an amazing.
I keep hearing cool stuff about it.
Yeah.
I'm down. So.
All right. Well, Joe, I'm gonna grab a Leith over here.
Do it.
And Shanghai her, dude. It's been so good talking to you, brother. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm gonna catch up with you towards the end of the day.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right,
Joe. Pleasure, man. Thank you for coming.
Nice meeting you, Joe. Have a good one.
Awesome. Thank you, brother.
You guys are over there?
Yeah, we're at the table in the corner.
Yeah. Dude, that was cool.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Danny, you're doing well.
What's up?
You're doing well.
You're doing great.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, I had a really great interviewee, and it wasn't somebody that was like, I don't know, bro, I'm just here. I don't think Jason would Shanghai me like that, but.
I never thought about the difference of like the creativity and the problem solving and how like it's so similar. So that's that's a cool.
It really is. Like creative people, like, you know, hacking is creativity.
You're good, man.
Right. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So I need you. I will wipe this ass into you. Have wipes on me. I assume with kids you've had grosser stuff in you. All right, go ahead and put this in your left ear.
Yeah.
Hi, Leith.
Hey.
Can you hear them?
Hello. Yes. I mean, we don't really hear all that much, but.
Yeah.
So, everybody, if you don't know her, first of all, you're living under a rock and you should be ashamed of yourselves. But I have next to me, just by chance, sitting down with her lovely husband, Leith Dennis, Black Badge winner for DEF CON SE Village.
Yes.
And also, holy shit, it's Malware Jake, too. Say hi to the Trimark guys.
Hi, Malware Jake.
Jake got married.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm missed you somewhere on your like lapel or something. Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you enjoying your Hackathon?
I absolutely love it here.
Is this your first one?
This is my first one, and I am so impressed.
God, I feel like the OG being here three times.
Yeah.
You spoke. Are you speaking?
I spoke. It's over now and I can relax.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. Yeah.
What's amazing about
Elite?
It went great. Started, 10 o'clock. So time's flying. Yeah, 10 o'clock this morning. So I actually managed to finish the slides at like midnight last night. So that was great.
That's pretty good.
That's early.
Like a seasoned vet.
Yeah. Plenty of time.
So what's amazing about Elite? And I adore you. I've adored you from even before you met me. is that as somebody has practiced, like from afar. Don't worry, it wasn't anything creepy. I was at least 50 yards away at all times. What's amazing about Elise is that she is so effortless when you see her speak, And again, Black Badge winner at the SC Village is not an easy task. For anybody who doesn't know, even in the current iteration, better iteration of the SC community, you go into a booth, they assign you a company, you do your recon, and then you call them live in front of everybody in the audience, which is a packed house, standing room with a time limit, yeah. Which is like also
counting down and
nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Is that even when you go and give a talk, you will still sit down just exhausted. Like you have a look like all of us do. Because it takes a lot out of you, right?
Glazed and confused.
Yeah. And like when I saw her across the table and I asked her to sit down and talk to us, she's like, you could be in a paper sack with like your hair dreaded. And you
No, you know, like, I don't know what it is, but ever since I got here, I've been struggling with like a sinus thing.
It's probably altitude.
I think it might be. When I went to Los Alamos earlier this year to do a presentation, and they're like, the altitude, yeah, somebody's gonna make off with that gong.
chase him down, Randall.
No. Anyway, I'll tell that story in a second, but at least it's first. What do you say? You spoke in Los Alamos?
Yes. I got to speak at Los Alamos National Laboratory, and they're like, yeah, the altitude's going to kick your ass. I'm like, I'm going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So I show up, and like within a few hours, I felt like I was dying. Like I was pretty sure that I was going to die.
Yeah. Well, that's what I felt like here, because I've been walking, I've been doing like that, try not to be fat anymore. I've been doing like 10,000 steps a day for the past like 4 months and feeling really great about myself. And people are like, oh, you look so thinner, blah, blah, blah. I walked down on the street here, and I'm like, like a slovenly asshole. Just like, what have I?
My dad walked back up, and then people are like trying to talk to me, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm old, and I walked. So give me a minute.
what did you speak about? So if anybody, like, so what, tell anybody who doesn't know what is Los Alamos.
So they keep the nukes there.
Okay. <that's>,
But they're one of our super secret squirrel bases, and so they have nuclear labs there, and they like enrich things that are dangerous, and they have some of probably the most intelligent, smartest minds in our nation there, making very dangerous weapons.
Hang out in the new clubhouse.
We'll bring the social engineer over. They didn't let me go anywhere that was very dangerous. They're like, hey, go get your badge and then meet us over here. And they expected me to go to like one badge office, and we ended up going to a different, like totally different badge office. But because we had an appointment, they let us get our badges. And so they're like, where are you? And I'm like, oh, I got my badge already. And we're like, good to go. Are we not in the right place? And they're like, we're at a completely different place and you're not here. And I was like, oh, whoops. I was like, well, I already got my badge. And so we go over there and we're waiting for other people to get their badges. They get their badges. They're like, absolutely no pictures of the badges can be taken. And I'm like, oops. Definitely don't have any pictures of a badge.
I find the most concerning thing that the employees of the people that are supposed to be there don't know where a stranger is.
Don't know where Elite is.
Like, let's just take that away. I'm like, high security nuclear fucking bunker. They're like, hey, where's the stranger we let in?
Social engineer.
Yeah. Where's the stranger whose expertise is convincing people to do weird shit?
So then the entire time we're driving around, I'm like, how would I break into that building? How would I get into that place? How would I go here? And I mean, they're pretty legit. Like the razor wire is quite scary.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I could have gotten anywhere else that was like actually sensitive. And like the badge offices aren't anywhere between, like behind anywhere. Totally crazy. But when we pulled up to the gates, we just like showed our badges and then they're like, go right ahead. I'm like, what are you doing?
are you allowed to say what you spoke to them about?
Oh, yeah. No, I was invited to speak to a group of students who were there on an internship. So it was basically the talk that I presented today, which you'll be able to watch on YouTube at some point, mm-hmm. I imagine. Mm-hmm. But they got to hear all the stories first. And I got to do a lot more unfiltered, uncensored version because it wasn't recorded or anything like that.
I had a question on, oh, yeah. So like, I nothing that fancy, but I once gave a talk at the NSA.
Oh wow!
So, by the way, I don't know how or why.
You went to the NSA.
So we were down at yeah. So like we were
I'm
down
not
at.
I'm sure which of those is a bigger mistake, right? Bringing right. to the place with nukes or letting Danny into the NSA.
So we regret.
We were giving a talk at B-Sides Augusta. Right, like, they took one look at me and were like, all right, this was a fucking mistake. Good job, government. You lose a lease and you let me on a base. And we were giving a talk at B-Sides Augusta, and with this, some, I don't know how, but they were like, hey, come to the base and do it. And I remember that very specifically, the woman who was showing us around, I was like, oh, so what do you do here? She goes, oh, I'm showing you around. I was like, yeah, but like day to day. She goes, okay, you're gonna go in this door, and just disappeared. I never saw that one again. But like, she very, it was very much like, you could tell the intent was like, I'm not telling you a single goddamn thing
about what you're doing here. They're like, uh-uh.
Yeah, she was probably like a spy or something. Yeah. But I remember that being very intimidating, and it's one of the last times I ever wore a suit.
Oh,
yeah, because I thought I had to. And then I go in, there's a bunch of NSA guys just sitting around in like jeans and a t-shirt, and I'm like, ah, I got shanghaied.
Yeah.
It's dumb. So yeah, that was cool. So like, and then, so you talked to the students, and did they, were they, were everybody, yeah, they were, like, was everybody cool? Like,
they were really cool. Like, so there were students there, and then there were some of the staff members that were in the building that came down to listen to the talk as well. And it just so happened that they scheduled my talk at the same time as like the director.
Oh.
Who, like, for the entire lab.
Yeah.
Was giving a presentation, and they kind of,
who had more attendees?
They kind of effed it up.
Yeah.
And I packed the room. They had people standing outside, and like fire marshals, like, get out of the stairways kind of a situation. And so I was like, this guy's going to come kick my ass.
That director's going to have somebody's asses for this. He goes in on his thing and like having all his minions in there, and there's like two dudes.
Yeah.
And they're just the janitors.
Right. But I mean, they had some really great questions. And then there was one guy I probably will never forget. He's probably not happy with me, but he was like probably very early 20s. And he's just like, how do you find time to learn all the things? You know, I'm a student, I'm just very busy. And I was like, bro, I want a black badge with a 3-month-old baby and three other kids at a security conference in front of 1,000 people in a glass booth with a timer. Like, you got to set your own priorities.
Right.
You prioritize your time. You command your own destiny. If you want it, you will make it happen.
So that's the clutch thing, right? Because like I tried early on. So before I got into the whole marketing and operation and selling my soul thing.
Yeah,
I was
thing. So
that whole thing.
What?
I was hands on keyboard. I was threat hunting, blue team or whatever. And I had thought, because this was also when I had got into like hacking things, like I have to be a red teamer.
Yeah,
I have to pop a shell.
I'm not worried. Like, I know I've been dying a little bit inside for the last 3.5 years because like I'm not worthy. I don't belong here. I'm an imposter. Somebody's gonna like figure out I don't belong here and like escort me from the building any minute.
But the thing about it was, is like I even tried to give my OSCP, and then I realized I was forcing myself to do these things because I thought I had to. I wasn't having fun.
Right.
I wasn't enjoying it. Like, this is stupid. Why am I measuring myself against that? So like, but then when I found the things I really wanted to do, which turns out to be strategy and operations and and streaming and talking and interviewing, like I will make the time to do that shit because I love doing it.
Right.
Which is, again, a very privileged take, I guess. Some people are forced to do the shit they hate to do.
Right.
But like, you have to want to do it. If you don't want to be a red teamer, you don't fucking have to be a red teamer. If like, you don't have to force yourself to pigeonhole into a thing because you think some other asshole thinks you're not elite enough. But yeah, so you like, yeah, I guess. So you had two kids at the time, or three?
Well, at the time that I
won your black belt,
the first time I competed, I had three.
Yeah.
And the second time I competed, I had four.
Right, because I remember seeing a picture of you pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you didn't win that year, did you?
No, the first year I competed, I got sixth place.
Uh-huh.
And then the second year, I got pregnant at DEF CON. And then the second year,
Vegas will for an eternity.
As a baby, 3 months old.
Will drain your bank account.
So yeah, the year that I won, I brought the 3-month-old baby with me. And yeah, she got to go up on stage when I accepted the award and all the things. And she has been the most problematic child.
You should have like brought her in.
Born into hackerdom, like that kid is gonna be. Yeah, she's gonna be the worst.
You should have like put her in the booth and used her as like your backup. Like, oh god, the kid.
Should have let her cry, but the thing was, it would have stressed me out so much more. So I was just like,
baby,
because it's an actual baby. It's kind of hard to keep your calm, especially because like, as a woman, especially when you're still like the food source for the baby, like it triggers biologically a lot of things. So I was like, yeah, no, I'm not taking this wild card in with me. And sure enough, like the first phone call, when the phone started to ring on the other end, she started crying immediately. And I was like, this is bad. This is all bad.
She was probably like acting as a ringer for your competition. Yeah,
pretty
like,
much.
Don't mess up, mom.
I did. You're killing me. I had to just like put blinders on and pretend like the entire world didn't exist and just go for the jugular. Yeah.
But no, but also like that is like, if you look at old videos of like, there is an old video of Michelle Fincher who used to work in this space. Oh yeah, we can show. Can we show a picture? Let me see if we could see this on the camera.
Yeah.
That's Grifter. And
that
the
is,
baby.
Yep. That is Grifter working voodoo on the baby to be a nightmare to Elise forever. But yeah. Oh, good. We have a real. Okay. It darkened finally. That's really good. So yeah, that's what it looked like. What'd you do? Oh, no, you're good.
That was good.
I was like, no, don't slide pictures. Like, how did you feel when you got that? But did you know you had the black badge after you won, or you have to wait till the closing ceremony?
I went on the first day. I was the seventh and last person to go on the first day. When you come out of the booth, you don't know what your score is. I had a pretty good feeling that I did pretty well because I knew what the flags were. I knew that I got a lot of them. And I knew that I did pretty well compared to some of the other people that I'd heard go before me. But there were still seven other people that were going to go after me. So I didn't know how the calls were going to go. Because of the baby, I didn't want to be rude to other contestants or a distraction or an a-hole. And so I spent a lot of time in the hallway. So I didn't get to hear a lot of the other contestants.
Right.
But on the Saturday night before DEF CON Sunday and closing ceremonies, they announced who the winner was. And like Ryan's got it on video. But when they said like second place is so-and-so, I go, oh, you know, maybe next year. Because I was like, I just want to get in the top five this year. That's my goal. Just do better than last year. And when they said second wasn't me, I was like, ah, bummer. And then when they said first was me, I go, oh, shit. And that was like my reaction.
Yeah.
And like, I walk up and I'm like, just like utter disbelief. Yeah.
I'm going to do with my hands. Like,
Well, I'm holding a baby, so don't drop the baby. But yeah, it was complete and total disbelief. It was absolute madness. And then, of course, you got all the people that are like, you know, this is going to change your whole life. You better button up your OPSEC. Like, people are going to come after you now. Like, really? You're going to be famous. Like, all these people are going to want to hire you. All these people are going to want to destroy you. Like, it was nuts. Like, as soon as I went,
thank you would have, like, good job would have sufficed.
Crazy. And so I was like, I don't really know what to do with this. And then it was like, we had our flight. I didn't think I was going to win. This is how much I didn't think I was going to win. I'd scheduled a flight for 3 p.m. Sunday to go home.
Yeah.
And so we ended up missing our flight. We rented a car from the airport and drove home overnight on Sunday night. And then it was like this article came out in Der Spiegel magazine in Germany.
Oh.
This reporter had like interviewed me in a hallway after I'd competed. And then when I won, he was like, oh, well, let's write this. And so he had like named the companies in the article. And so I'm reading the article at like 2 a.m. on Monday morning going, oh, shoot, like name. So I had to like reach out to him and be like, hey, can you like redact the company names? Because I'm kind of freaking out right now.
Stupid Germans.
Right?
It's always the Germans.
German CEOs messaging me on LinkedIn going, are you the same person that's in this article? It was nuts for like 3 or 4 days. And then it was crickets.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody like forgets about it and everybody moves on with their lives. And it took me, I think, like a year and a half to get an InfoSec job. My first InfoSec job after.
Yeah. So like don't listen to like
the hype. Yeah.
So what would you say, just to close up, because I'm gonna go perambulate for a second, even though I could talk to you for hours and hours on end.
I know.
Elise is actually one of my favorite people to text while I'm in the gym, like while I'm raging about something. And I'm like, you know who I fucking hate? You? Ooh, tell me. Yeah. He's like, oh, or like, I'll post some rant on Twitter about some company that's some stupid thing. And like, Elise will send to me going, LOL. So what would you say to somebody who like was going to come to like a hacker conference and wants, like some people's things like me, I'm just sociable, I walk around. But people who want to be involved and go to a contest, but don't like, like don't quite have like the guts to go do, or they think they don't.
Yeah, no, it's tough. Okay, so I know it's hard to believe, but I am a complete and total introvert. When I first started going to DEF CON like 10 years ago, we would just walk around and I was like afraid to talk to people, and it was really tough for me to get involved. The really neat thing about Wild West Hack and Fest and DEF CON is that a lot of the activities are geared towards forcing that social interaction and kind of putting you into circumstances where it's not as intimidating to start friendships. And so I found it was easier for me to start those interactions by getting involved in the contest. But also what I started doing to force myself to talk to people was I started making stickers. And the whole sticker life thing was how I started to kind of interact with people by making stickers, and I made it into a game and I would tweet about it. Like, this is the sticker I'm bringing. If you want one, come talk to me and get one. And that's how I really started to talk to people. It was kind of like offering an incentive for people to talk to me, to force me to be social and to kind of break out of my own fear of talking to people. But then getting involved in the competition, people started coming up to me and going, wow, that's crazy that you did that. I'm like, yeah, I know. I can't believe I did that either. And then I started meeting people that way and just participating in some of the activities. And I actually started applying to do the social engineering competition because I'm one of those people that'll send 800 emails before I pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to kind of get over that fear. So I would say, you know, take a chance, take a risk, get involved in the competitions. Try to find creative ways that you can create opportunities to give people an excuse to talk to you if you're not someone who likes to initiate conversations such as myself.
Stickers really are like
the currency.
They're the currency, the easy button.
Yep.
Because and I actually take a very like they mean quite a bit to me. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they mean so much to people. And it's like how we really, one of the main ways we express ourselves as hackers. Right. And if you got a good sticker, any sticker, honestly, like
yeah.
I've seen some pretty shitty ones, like really hit, but like do that. And it's not even a high bar to entry, right? No. Like you make a design, you make, they're affordable.
Now you can AI yourself a sticker design and yeah. Just send it to a printer. And
it's the best feeling to see one of your stickers. Cause I've had it done where like, I saw it on like a random elevator. By the way, don't fucking stick on elevators, no. But it's cool to see them. but like, yeah, stop doing that shit. Cause you know, or some schmuck's got to clean that thing up. But yeah, that's like the easy button to do that. But yeah, there are ways. There's never, I found, and tell me if you agree with this, that your own projections in your head are 1,000 times worse than what would actually happen.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
What's the worst that can happen? You apply to a contest.
The worst thing that happens is they say no.
Yeah.
And you're no better or no worse off than you were before.
Right, exactly. Or they take like any HR department and ghost you completely.
Yeah.
And then tell you 6 months later that you weren't good. Not like I've had that happen to me. Before I let Elise go, you guys have anything for Elise?
I was just going to share with Elise that I've got one of her stickers from DEF CON is on my kids, the folders that they take to school every day. They wanted to put them on there.
Oh,
so.
Sweet. That's yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I love it when people post like their laptop cases and I can spot one of mine. I'm like, oh, that's one of mine. So that's neat. Thank you.
I'm going to let you go, Elise. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate it.
And I'm
pitching up.
Yeah, I'm going to try to walk to the Trimark booth to close this out. So we're going to see if that works or not. Yeah. But right, thank cool. You, my darling.
Thank you so much. Love you, my friends.
Love you. All right, we're gonna try something.
We're gonna go for a walk.
I'm gonna
go on a field trip.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to take a 100-foot field trip to our booth and see what happens. Are you guys hanging out here for a minute?
Go ahead. I'll watch you. Anything else you want to leave? Just leave right here.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. Let's. Please don't crash.
Please don't throw up. Please don't throw up.
I didn't think enough about this ahead of time. My Surface tablet. And so, all right, we're going to do this.
I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, this is great.
For now.
Aren't you hotspotting off of this?
Oh, I am hotspotting. Oh, good looking out, brother. Thank you.
All right, show us the friend. Thank you, friend.
Who are you talking to, friend?
This is... Introduce yourself.
I'm Ryan. I'm Elise Buttercup.
Oh,
awesome!
That is Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
Who is? I can't like. I spent a lot of time with him talking at DEF CON. I fucking Look at this beautiful asshole. Like, I love him so much. Ryan's real cool too. If you ever see a Leaf, I think a lot of times, like, right, like people come to a Leaf and like you'll just be standing there going, "All right, I'll be in the corner."
Yeah, I'm like bodyguard.
Yeah, like bodyguard. But if you see Ryan, Ryan's cool as shit. Talk to Ryan. Like, don't ever just assume that the people hanging out with him are just schmucks. All right, let's see what happens here. I'm going to walk.
I know what it's like to be arm candy.
Yeah, me too. That's when I walk around. Yeah. Always arm candy.
Hold on, really quick. I'm just going to ask Jason to say hi.
This feels like the Blair Witch Project right now.
I'm intentionally not staring at it.
Make you sick.
Wave hi, Jason.
Hey, it's Jason. Hi.
We're about to close out the stream. Your beard is mighty. Holy shit,
Bo.
I like that.
Oh, hey, Bo. Anyway, we're walking. What's going on, Bo?
Oh, was that Bo?
I missed my chance to talk to him. I need to reach out to him.
You talk to people online a lot, right? But like, I don't know faces. And you feel like a schmuck when you go to them.
I told Stacy D that last week. Like, I ran into her at Wild West Hacker Fest last year and like didn't recognize her out of context. You know?
Yeah. All right. Sean's not here, but Jim and Daryl are.
Good. This is perfect then.
Yeah.
You're wearing your wall of sheep shirt, I just noticed.
I am wearing a wall of sheep shirt.
Yeah.
Nice.
I got one of them.
Hold this.
Oh, hey, it's a Gypsy Cora.
I know that handsome guy.
Put that in your left ear.
Hello, Jim Segura.
Hello.
Hello, handsome.
How's it going, Jake?
So we are with, if you haven't followed him before, this is Jim Security on Twitter. He is one of our godlike entities when it comes to Active Directory security and all things identity. I'm going to face right quick to show you guys the booth. This is what we're looking at. This is us at Hackenfest, and that's Daryl. That's Daryl, the elusive Daryl. Hey, say hi to the guys.
How's been the con, Jim?
I absolutely love Wild West Hackenfest. One of my favorite conferences all year long. And I have honestly not been at the booth much. I've been going to talks and talking to people. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's.
Yes, I will cut you.
Yeah. So,
no, it's absolutely. You'll be. I'm sorry. I didn't even think to ask you. I just violated somebody's fucking privacy, so I'm sorry. it's a security conference. Let's just record people who didn't say yes first. All right, so just be sure to pull this down off of Twitch right away.
Oh, yeah, I'll take it down immediately, like I did last week's.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll just cut out that little part where we're going to Daryl. That's fine.
I don't even think you can see we'll cut it anyway, but I don't think you can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't really tell.
That's fine. It's all good. Like it never happened. Would you recommend people coming out here, Jim? Like making the trek out to Deadwood and Rapid City to get here?
Yes, it's totally worth it. This is one of the most friendly conferences. I don't worry about my phone's Bluetooth being on or using the Wi-Fi because it's not that type of hacker that is making things uncomfortable and stuff like that. Everybody here is here to have fun and to learn and not be a pain in the butt. And the Deadwood itself is amazing. There's a lot of history here. If you get outside of Deadwood, there's a lot of great scenic areas and historic areas. And also, Deadwood is pretty much at capacity. So if you are interested in going to Deadwood, don't wait. The conference fills up pretty quick and the town of Deadwood just barely has enough hotel rooms and stuff like that for this conference. I haven't been there yet, but coming in February of this year, Wild West Hacking Fest is gonna be in Denver. So that's in addition to Deadwood. And I already have my ticket for Mile High in Denver, and I'll be there. So
I want to know, nice. For the record, Jim's hand just grazed my butt. All right. Well, thank you, Jim. Again, this is the time of our booth. This is what the booth normally looks like, and we're going to close things out.
All right. On.
Thanks, everybody.
I'm good. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. I can't believe this worked.
Danny, I think I know what your win for the week is.
It's this. It's right. Pulling this out of my ass.
Right.
anyway, that's our Trimark sign.
There we are.
And this is the booth from the front. Try not to record anybody else.
Right.
Oh, wait. Hold on. J-Van's here.
Oh, J-Van's here. Oh,
real quick before we...
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, got to get J-Van on stream.
It worked.
Oh, my God. Wait, it actually...
Yeah, it's been streaming. It hasn't screwed up yet.
J-Van!
Like, this worked, and I fucking shouldn't have. Here. No, we only got, like, 4 minutes left.
Is this a microphone?
Yeah, it's a microphone.
Wow.
Is this a microphone?
Anybody who doesn't know, this is a Jen Van Antwerp. She does work externally with us, but she also runs... You run a thing. What's your thing that you run?
It's called Sober and Cyber.
Sober and Cyber. It's because we're not all a bunch... Well, we're all a bunch of alcoholics, but some of us just chose to stop. And it's not always easy to stop. So she does a very great thing. She is a nonprofit. She runs amazing events. Like, she even has, like, mocktails. Even when I do, and I told you this,
yep.
When I do personal events for myself, my house is an old farmhouse and I have a barn. So I do BarnCon every year. I now have a mocktail menu for when people come over, specifically because I met Jen here exactly 1 year
ago. 1 year ago. Friendiversary.
It's our anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Aw, how cute.
Yeah, we do alcohol-free networking events during security conferences, and we'll host, like, mocktails and stuff if you don't want to have a fully dry event, just to have alternative options out there for people who don't want to drink or be pressured to drink at these conferences, so they can still hang out, make friends, have all the fun, and do all the stuff. So yeah,
some random stranger waves. I'm just betraying everybody's identity today. One person already asked us, like, can you cut me out? I was like I'm so sorry, I got excited. Yeah, oopsie daisy.
The roving right. Reporter is roving.
The roving. Also out of cardio because we're up in the fucking sky. All right, thank you, Jen.
Tell J-Van her new glasses are great.
Jake says your new glasses are fire. All right. Before we close out, I'm just
gonna... nice his glasses too.
Yeah, Danny looks
Thank
nice
you, baby. I got a lot of compliments on these.
Yeah, they look really good, brother.
Thank you, baby. I'm gonna one more little lap before we close out and see who I see. There's a baby. I see a baby. I will not betray that baby's privacy. I'm actually trying to find Velda. But Velda's probably very busy right now.
I imagine Velda is up to her neck in all of the con.
Who is Velda?
Kind of wrapping up at this point, right? So.
Velda is. Oh wait, I see Deb. Hold on.
Oh Deb, yeah, we like a Deb.
What's up, brother?
Are you on the talk right now?
Yeah, we're streaming right now.
Oh hey,
what's going on? Is that Dan?
Oh, look at that .. horse. Oh, he's so sad. He's not at Wild West.
He is. He's very sad. He's not here.
All right, I'm gonna have to go to Wild West next year.
Dude,
that's my
Wild
plan.
West was so good last year. Like, I am sad that I didn't go, but I just.
We're streaming for Trimark, so say hello. I try not to betray everybody's identity, but, like, you guys are the showrunner, so I figured why the hell not. Can you mind talking to us first, like, 2 seconds? No, you, Erica. Who tell the people what you do here.
I do here.
Hold this too. Hold that for. Thank you.
What would you say you do?
Boy, I don't know what I do. I tried to get John to fire me, but he won't fire me.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
Not that easy. You're not going anywhere.
So, Erica, you are director here, or, like, what's your title for Hackenfest?
For Hackenfest?
Yeah. Well, she's also the head muckety muck over at Black Hills, but, like, what do you do at?
Yeah, secretary treasurer.
Any person's always the most important person. I know that. We know that. Yeah, so she's lovely. We love being here as a sponsor. So thank you for having us again.
Thank you for sponsoring.
And we're just doing our little schmucky streaming thing. So yeah, thank you for talking to us. And now we also have Deborah. I just hijacked their conversation. Yeah, so.
I wasn't there for you. You gotta be there for me.
Yeah, you both gotta be in. So this is Deb. Deb is one of the head muckety mucks for the marketing. Oh shit, my thing's falling out.
Oh no.
Yeah. Don't drop the laptop.
This went so smoothly for the first hour.
It's because you were sitting still.
So I can hear them talking to me. Yeah. We saw Jason a little bit ago. And Deb is the one that helped us make our expansion pack for the Backdoors and Breaches. And we sat through that. So anyway, we're about to close out. I just wanted to come and say hi. I hope the first is sick of
me. Hi, friends. And bye, friends.
It's like the first time you've ever been on the microphone. Yeah. By the way, Deb agreed to try to write a talk with me. So now... What? Now that it's recorded on stream, you really can't back out. Yeah. Thank you, guys. All right. I think I should do it. I think I've hijacked enough people. I think I've invaded enough privacy for one day. We can close out now.
Let's do it.
All right. What do we want to go out on? What sort of music are we going out on? Oh, wait. Do you have anything you want to talk about, Brandon, real quick about your win? We know what Danny's win was.
That was cool. That worked out really well.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit, my win is that.
Absolutely shocked.
That was good. Now we know we can do it, so we can do it again.
Next time we'll try for better Wi-Fi.
And this time I'll actually bring out all my equipment and shit too next time. I think that'll be better.
Yeah.
But the roving thing, right? I think worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wander, yeah.
Wander.
Works fine.
All right, Jake. All right, Jake, you do your win.
My win was doing this and it pulling it off. It worked. Like, I'm psyched about it. Please.
Jake's happy he could push the stream button.
That's right. I could push the stream button. So, all right. We're doing this.
I like how, what's funny is standing right across from me is like an actual news outlet with like an actual microphone. And I'm just wandering around like some deranged schmuck to try to get people to talk to me. But anyway, all right. Good. I'm glad. Take it out, Jake.
Peace.
Cool. Have fun, Danny.